Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy Halloween. It's 10 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, October the 31st. And here's a question for you. Do you want the governor of the state of Wisconsin to be able to veto out words in sentences and then end up creating new sentences? This ends up creating a budget, for example, portions of a budget that never passed the legislature. Well, critics call this the Frankenstein veto, and they say Governor Doyle did it again, used it again when he signed the state budget on Friday. We'll find out how he used it and what our guest wants to do about it, and we welcome your thoughts and questions for her at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Our guest is Sheila Harsdorf, Republican State Senator from River Falls. She's co-sponsored a constitutional amendment to limit the governor's partial veto power. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So exactly what is the Frankenstein veto?
Well, we have dubbed it the Frankenstein veto, a veto that where words are eliminated so that new sentences are created and create laws that were never passed by the legislature.
Yeah. So how did the governor use it this time around with the state budget?
Well, this time around, he crossed out and selected isolated numbers to basically double the allowable, nearly double the allowable increase of the property tax freeze for local municipalities.
So while the budget agreement had a freeze or a cap on property taxes, somehow he was able to cross out different words and parts of sentences to totally change
the number, and you know, the legislature spent months debating numerous issues, as listeners are well aware, including what that limit should be. And so we passed 2%, and the governor nearly doubled that allowable increase. And I think, you know, the issue is not the outcome as much as obviously the outcomes have real implications for residents of the state. But it's also when you look at how it was vetoed, I don't believe the partial veto, which I do support, was ever intended to allow a governor to create laws that have not passed the legislature.
Yeah. So why do you support the partial veto but not the Frankenstein veto? Maybe you should say, what's the difference?
Right. Yeah. The difference is a partial veto, I believe, is intended to allow a governor to obviously take and approve a portion of what the legislature has passed. For example, if the legislature approves increasing an appropriation by $25 million, a governor ought to, I believe, have the opportunity to pick any number between 0 and 25, versus without the partial veto, a governor would be left with either no increase or that $25 million increase. And a partial veto allows a governor to pick any number between a no increase and a $25 million increase, for example. And that is a part or a portion of what the legislature has authorized, which I believe a partial veto allows and should allow.
Yeah. And really kind of getting into nuts and bolts here, but if the governor didn't like that 2% cap on the property tax increase, he could have just crossed out that line, and that would have been a partial veto, right?
No, a partial veto is where you selectively pick out words. And if you look at the partial veto, just like 2 years ago in the 05 budget, which many people have seen, if you haven't seen it, check our website. It's really looking at how the digits are picked out, digits from, in this case, the numbers were picked out from the statute numbers within the budget. And so it's really, you have to really see it to appreciate and to say, you know, this is not what the partial veto was ever intended to do.
So what is it that you are calling for now? I know there is this proposed constitutional amendment that would limit that a partial veto and get rid of what you call the Frankenstein veto.
Right.
What needs to happen?
Well, what we are proposing is that a governor would have to simply strike an entire sentence. And so they could not strike individual words to create another sentence from two or more sentences. And this is really, Joy, I think, an extension off of a change that we passed in the early 90s, where we banned the Vanna White veto, where governors were crossing out letters to create new words.
Mm-hmm.
This is really an extension of that. And the Vanna White veto had strong support. I supported it, banning that Vanna White veto. And we clearly have strong support for this as well, as indicated in indicated by our vote last session through both houses, the Assembly has already passed this overwhelmingly, and we have over half the Senate as co-sponsors on this resolution.
Yeah, it needs to just pass the Senate one more time before it shows up on a ballot.
Absolutely. And the key is, we know we have the support, we know we have the votes. It's a question of making sure it gets scheduled for a vote.
Yeah, so what's the holdup for it getting scheduled for a vote?
Well, we just got notice that the Senate committee is going to hold a vote on it in the middle of, I think, November 14th. And so that's obviously key in order for us to then work on the Senate leadership to ensure it's brought before the full Senate for a vote.
But we don't know yet, or you don't know yet, what should it pass, what ballot this will be on for the state of Wisconsin to vote on.
Well, first, we don't have any assurance yet from the new Senate leadership that they will schedule it. So that's the first thing we have to ensure that we get an assurance of that. Obviously, the Senate will deal with the issue of when it comes up before a vote. It's my hope. I think it's essential that this comes up for a vote in this coming year on one of the statewide ballots.
Yeah, when would this take place? Should it pass? When would it go into effect?
It would go into effect after it's passed by the people of the state. It would. So if it's taken up next year, it would be in effect for the following budget. Some have suggested that there's been some talk that some want to delay bringing it up for a vote until the November of 2010. That means it would not be in place for the next budget.
You want to see it. You want to see it in place before that.
Joy, this is for any governor. This mm-hmm. is not about any particular governor. This is about what authority we want to give our governor, whoever it is serving in our state.
We're talking with Sheila Harsdorf, Republican State Senator from River Falls. She's co-sponsor of a proposed constitutional amendment that would limit the governor's partial veto power. It would ban the so-called Frankenstein veto. We welcome your thoughts and questions for her. If this were on the ballot, how would you vote? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. 18 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Halloween, Wednesday, October the 31st. This afternoon, we will be hearing from the Capitol steps at 5:30. It's the Politics Takes a Holiday special, Halloween special, by the Capitol steps. The Capitol steps, a musical group of former and current congressional staffers, and they take bipartisan jabs at politicians and government. That's coming up this afternoon at 5:30. Right now, we're talking with Sheila Harsdorf, Republican State Senator from River Falls. She's co-sponsored a constitutional amendment to limit the governor's partial veto power. She wants to get rid of what critics call the Frankenstein veto, and we wonder if you do too. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. And I see here, Senator Harsdorf, that both the Wisconsin State Journal and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel have editorials in their editions today speaking out against the Frankenstein veto. So this is something that both state newspapers want to see happen. Why is this so important as far as you're concerned?
Well, I think it speaks to the integrity of the budget process. When the legislature has no assurance that what is sent to the governor comes back looking anything like what they sent, it really creates... It just creates a budget process that lacks integrity and accountability. And it also creates a real difficult time negotiating on the budget process when you don't have any assurance that your negotiations are going to really hold on through the budget process and through the actions of the governor.
Yeah, and you wouldn't care if a Republican governor was vetoing out stuff in this way that Republicans didn't want in the budget?
You know, this, Joy, is something that, to me, it's not about whether it's a Republican or a Democratic governor. It's what authority we want to give our governor. Actually, under Tommy Thompson, I was one of the handful of Republicans that supported banning the Vanna White veto, because I believe we do have to look at what authority do we want to give our governor. And it's interesting to note that even with this change that we are proposing, Wisconsin's governor will have the broadest veto authority of any governor in the nation.
Yeah, the partial veto is a power the Wisconsin governor has that most governors do not.
Right. Most states have what they call an item veto, and Wisconsin does have a partial veto. And this change will not eliminate the partial veto. It will just simply say a governor essentially has to veto out an entire sentence and can't create new sentences from two or more.
Mark in Romance joins us. Good morning.
Thank you for taking the call. I would just like to say I'm an extremely liberal voter who's very concerned about the politics in Wisconsin, and I definitely support this Republican legislator and her attempt to get this change. I think that things like this Frankenstein veto really contributes to the cynicism that people have about politics and the whole process of public policy. And it's that cynicism that is really, I think, tearing this country apart. So, Republican, Democrat, it doesn't matter who the governor would be. They shouldn't have this kind of power.
Yeah, well, you're not going to disagree with that, are you?
No, thank you for the call.
Yeah, we have from the Wisconsin State Journal this morning, the integrity of Wisconsin government and the fairness of its decisions depends on the Frankenstein veto being slain. That's quite a argument for this constitutional amendment.
Joy, there's been real strong support for banning the Frankenstein veto throughout the state by editorial boards and editorials.
Yeah, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel: governors should be able to veto a bill, but should not be able to create legislation by stitching together disparate bits and parts. The process subverts the state's separation of powers. Essentially, the partial or the Frankenstein veto gives the governor legislative ability in a way, doesn't it?
Well, it allows laws to be passed that have never passed the legislature, and that I clearly was never the intent of the partial veto. Mm-hmm. No governor should be able to write laws that have not passed the legislature.
Next, we go to Dave in Waupun. Hi, Dave. You're on the air.
Good morning. Good morning, Senator Harsdorf.
Good morning.
I think most of us would probably agree with what you're trying to accomplish, but in an amendment, it's so important to get the words exactly right. And my concern is, I understand that what you're talking about is simply providing the ability to strike only an entire sentence. But I want to make sure, is there now and would there continue to be an ability to write down a number from any number that it is to something less? And if so, I've got a little follow-up to that.
Yes, that would still be allowed. That is actually a part of a partial veto, which I do not object to. I believe that, as I said earlier, if the legislature approves an appropriation which a governor believes is excessive and beyond what the state can afford, I believe they ought to be able to take a portion of what the legislature has proposed increasing an appropriation. We have intentionally designed this resolution and this change to be very simple. We want it to be easily understood, and we want it to be clear so that it's not subject to court interpretation at a later time.
All right. And knowing how easily things get convoluted in the political process, if you ended up with that sort of an approach, one way of looking at what the governor had just done is, lacking anything else, there is no limitation on local spending. So if he, in fact, was just writing down the limitation to a zero limit, he essentially could have expanded their ability to raise taxes anyhow. Is there a risk of that happening under this amendment so that we don't go back next session or two sessions later and try to make another amendment to further refine this?
A partial veto is intended to allow a governor to take a part. What you have, I would have to check with legal counsel to see if that could be done. Obviously, any action that we as legislators take or the governor takes, we have to be held accountable to. And so any change that he makes, he has to justify that to the voters, and then the voters decide if they agree or disagree. But the intent is to, of the partial veto, is to either sign it, veto it all, or veto a part of it. So under your situation, I don't know if he would be able to, I don't know what his options would be. Obviously, he was trying to get a larger number, not to take a fraction of it.
Thank you very much, Dave. Anatole in Madison. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello. The assertion that this is not directed specifically at Governor Doyle is undercut by the fact, just admitted by Senator Hausdorff, that although she was one of the few Republicans who voted to end Tommy Thompson's Vanna White veto, which was notorious at the time. Now, if they really want to change the Constitution and not just use this as a stick to beat Governor Doyle, I suggest that they would make this come into effect on January 1st, 2011. That's exactly what was done with the 22nd Amendment banning the third term for the president, exempting all people who had been elected president prior to that happening, so that it did not apply to Truman, did not apply to Eisenhower,
etc. So you're saying if it were in effect at that date, Governor Doyle probably wouldn't be the governor affected by it?
Well, let's put it this way. If he were, he would have been reelected.
What about Senator Hausdorff?
You know, I do not look at – we did not introduce this until the veto in the last budget was made by our governor. And so that really brought us to action and made us to propose this. We did not propose this just because Governor Doyle was elected. It was only after the veto where he exercised this in this way. I supported the Vanna White veto under Tommy Thompson, as I indicated. And to me, this is, I don't know why we would say that Governor Doyle should not comply with this. If we believe that a governor should have this ability restricted, then it should be whether it's Governor Doyle in there or whoever it is. The bottom line is, once a veto is used, just like once the Vanna White veto was created and utilized, any future governor will continue to use it. And so this is something that I believe restores integrity, helps restore integrity in the budget process, and is essential regardless of who is governor. But I don't know why we would want to say, well, it's fine for future governors, but not our current governor. Mm-hmm.
But that is, we only have about a minute or so to go. Almost everybody, it sounds like, supports some sort of limitation on this partial veto or getting rid of the Frankenstein veto in the legislature, except the dispute is, when should it take effect?
Well, my hope is that we can bring it up. And again, it to me, it's a matter of any budget where we allow this to continue to be used is a missed opportunity to restore integrity in the budget process.
Yeah. And again, with our minute to go, there will be, it looks like Fred Risser did schedule a committee vote on this for Wednesday, November the 14th. And you're hopeful that this will end up on one of our ballots next year.
We're going to continue to encourage our leadership to bring it up.
All right. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks, Joy.
Sheila Hausdorff, Republican State Senator from River Falls. She is a co-sponsor of a proposed constitutional amendment to limit the governor's partial veto power. It would ban the so-called Frankenstein veto, which allows the governor to just strike certain words out of sentences and then create new sentences. And this constitutional amendment would ban that practice. We will talk about another issue in state politics coming up after we check the latest news. We'll wonder if it was if sexism had any part to play in the ouster of Senate Majority Leader Judy Robson.